This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Artificial intelligence. I welcome Kevin Frazier, University of Texas Law School fellow, as well as writing at Civitas Outlook for Civitas Institute about an area of law that is emerging as extremely fun to speculate, even for non-lawyers, non-trained people such as myself, which is AI and the law, guidelines, laws, rubrics, recommendations, liability. Kevin, this is a world you've opened up, and congratulations. To give an example to everyone immediately, what are they talking about? What role should AI play in how we resolve disputes? Now, therein lies a mystery. Say two neighbors are sharing a property line where there is not clarity. Do you ask AI to referee? What do you make of its contribution? Kevin, I started simple, but your essay in Civitas Outlook suggests that there are large questions ahead of us. To your knowledge, in general, you recently testified to a committee of Congress. Is this being worked on now, or are you on the frontier of raising questions about what is to be done? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thank you so much for having me. As always, it's a pleasure to talk to you from here in Austin. I am not the only one asking these questions of how to govern AI and how to responsibly use AI. I think what my unique contribution is analyzing to what extent the law itself, more regulation, more statutes, is the actual answer to resolving some of these disputes and some of these issues presented by novel uses of AI. You referenced that we're seeing AI be used in more and more contexts. It's being used to resolve disputes. It's being used as a therapy tool. It's being used as a tutor. And we are seeing across state legislatures a real drive to think that the best way to respond to these uses of AI is more law. And even more law, and then some more regulations. And really what I'm positing is that we've seen across the history of technology that sometimes it just takes emerging norms and emerging community systems to manage new technology rather than developing more law.
Examples are necessary here, but I want to testify how I'm using AI. And an hour a day saved is a minimum of what's happening. So multiply that with millions of workers around the world, you see the productivity gains here. What I chiefly want to say, Kevin, is that once you use AI, and I use a combination of Claude, that's Anthropic, and Ara, that's Grok, that's Musk, and Gemini, that's Microsoft, I believe, and Google's Notebook, LM. So I'm using the four major powers without using OpenChat GPT, that once you use them and you effectively integrate them into your daily work schedule, you're addicted. You can't imagine going back to the way that you had to look things up or suffer your spelling and your bad grammar. All AI takes that and does it for you. And recently I've discovered, very recently, that I can tell Ara in Grok my schedule the next day and for several more days. And like a personal assistant, she will come forward when asked, "What's next, Ara?" And she'll tell me, almost as if she's putting notes in front of me on the table. Now, Kevin, what's not to like? I understand law is the question here, but do I blame Ara when I miss an appointment? Do I fault the Gemini system or the Claude system because they didn't clean up a particular paragraph that was critical in my business doings? Is that the scale of what we have to worry about?
You know, it's a really tough question because we have to distinguish between when we're using AI as intended and when we're using AI as a means to solve every single issue imaginable in ways that companies didn't even intend for. So, John, as you pointed out, there are use cases of AI for which it's really designed, helping with scheduling, helping with idea generation, helping with editing. And in those instances, we have to maintain some degree of agency over how and when we're using tools, rather than just saying, "Oh my gosh, let's just blame the companies because they didn't anticipate every single use case of AI." An analogy I think really helps bring this to the fore, which is to say, If you, John, decided you wanted to get from point A to point B, you wanted to go to the grocery store, and you decided the best way to do so was to drive your lawnmower to Safeway, no one would say, "Oh my gosh, we need to sue John Deere because clearly the lawnmower isn't going to get you to Safeway in a safe fashion." No, that's on you, John. You don't take your lawnmower to the grocery store. But if we see that you are mowing the lawn and all of a sudden a blade clips off and slices off your finger or something, well, in that instance, we could see, yes, John Deere should be to blame in that instance. But at this early stage of AI, where we're still trying to find out when is it responsible and appropriate to use AI tools versus when are we out of the domain for which they're really intended, it's too early to come in and say we need to slap clear laws into this very complex picture. Instead, we should allow norms to emerge about how and when AI should be used.
Yes, let's get to an example. AB 1064 in California calls on labs, by which I'm guessing they mean the large language models going on right now, growing and growing, calls on labs to prioritize, quote, factually accurate answers to user prompts. That seems beyond imagining. For example, I use Claude and Grok's Arak in combination. It's like a teamwork. But if it comes to a demonstration of details, I'll back check both of them and bring Gemini in as well. Now, that's not too much to ask of anyone, not to depend on one source, even though the training for them is to show how many sources they drew upon for their answer. So California doesn't seem to be taking into account how you actually use these things. This AB 1064 strikes me as utopian.
AB 1064 is a very well-intentioned bill. We've seen that there are more and more reports, for example, of kids becoming over-reliant on AI tools for answering some of the most sensitive and important questions about relationships, about mental health, about faith, so on and so forth. But the issue with AB 1064 is that it fundamentally misunderstands how AI actually works. AI is not a retrieval system. When you prompt AI, it is not looking back to its training data and trying to find the most factually accurate response to your query. What it's doing is predicting the next most likely word to your response. It's generating a response. And so imposing this sort of factual accuracy requirement just doesn't align with how AI actually works. And John, to your point, I gotta ask, who wants California in your chat room? Who wants the state government of California dictating what factually accurate means? And this is critically important, again, for the uses of AI by kids. When a kid asks an AI companion, is my parents' cancer diagnosis terminal? How much longer do they have? Do we want the AI bot to provide the factually accurate answer? I think not, right? And these are the sorts of really sensitive questions that probably are not the proper domain of law, but instead invite us to look back to our civic institutions, look back to our faith institutions, and say, how can we better support kids and other individuals who are overly relying on AI without mandating some technological solution being imposed on the labs?
To New York, another large state that is getting involved in legislation that would lead to guidelines, that's generous of me, restrictions of AI. Under the RAISE Act in New York, I follow your reporting, all labs developing leading AI models would have to comply with vague standards to reduce the odds of speculative harms. That's similar to the California speculative harms. Kevin, do they not use AI? I'm flabbergasted at the combination of naivete and overreach that's going on in this early days of legislation. Are you used to it yet?
You know, I will never be used to the fact that we are seemingly moving further and further away from best policy practices. John, you and I know that when you are trying to legislate, when you're trying to intervene in a new space, the best way forward is using data, is using more information, and is using cold, hard facts. And yet a lot of the AI discourse is around so-called existential risks. The possibility that AI is going to escape the lab, is going to infuse itself into weapon systems, is going to take over entire governments. But when you ask these folks, show me the evidence, show me an actual instance in which this has occurred, they're often left flat-footed. And while there are very real risks posed by AI, such as biosecurity concerns of easing the ability of bad actors to create bioweapons, there are alternative ways of addressing those concerns rather than trying to steer the technology itself. And yet the RAISE Act is going to perhaps impose on entire industry players, and mainly the leading labs, these vague standards that will necessarily chill innovation. And so what we need to do is really ground AI policy in empirical information about what are the risks that we're measuring and monitoring. Let's be responsive to those, and also paying attention to the opportunity costs of regulation. Because for every regulation that gets imposed, we may be foreclosing the realization of AI benefits in a sooner fashion and in a manner that's more diffuse.
Federal law. Now, this is a brave new territory for federal law, but they're going to wade in. You integrate your essay at Civitas with how the founders imagined it. I can't imagine them would say, you what? You did what? you intended what? You asked what? What was it that you asked? But in any event, federal law will step into the fray if state law is inadequate. Are we looking at something of a solution or more trouble from the Congress than we already have from the California and New York legislature?
I've been heartened by the fact that Congress seems to realize that AI is indeed a national concern. When it comes to the development of leading AI models, these are questions of incredible national security importance and economic importance. The country that has the most sophisticated AI is the country that's going to win geopolitical battles, have the greatest economic security, and make sure that they're going to succeed not only in the 21st century, but in the 22nd century and beyond. And so Congress is aware that leading in AI has to be the matter of the federal government. Now, the question is how they go about actually regulating this space. And the good news is more and more members of Congress seem to realize that federal law dictating the terms of how AI is developed, how it is deployed, is a far better strategy than a patchwork of state-by-state laws. Now, the question is whether they can get back to business and enact these laws before that patchwork fully develops. And right now, there's a little bit of concern that that federal effort may not occur as soon as is necessary. But for now, momentum, I would say, is building toward a federal effort to regulate AI.
What is to be done? Kevin Fraser of the University of Texas Law School, he's a fellow writing in Civitas Outlook about early days, very early days, of AI and the legislatures, both state and federal, but also we have to involve municipal legislatures as well, such as the City Council of New York. They're imaginative, they're engaged. I imagine they're all using AI at some level, but when we come back, what is to be done?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.